Kim Colby and Bill Olson are here with me today, and we're talking about New Issues Press, a press that is associated with Western Michigan University. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. And if you can both tell me, whoever wants to go first here, your roles, your titles, how long you've been with New Issues Press, what do you do there?
I'll start. I've been editor in chief, I guess, for 8 years now, and I consider myself the brawn of the outfit. The brains is Kim because she does all the massive organization and promotion.
And you carry the boxes.
I carry boxes and sweep the floor. I serve as an ambassadorial level, and I read the many, many manuscripts we receive for both of our contests. We have a first book contest. We receive upwards of 600 submissions for that contest.
Per contest?
Per contest.
Wow.
And for our Green Rose contest, upwards of 300. So it's a pleasure to read new work by rising new voices. And contrary to conventional opinion, it's really invigorating for one's art and one's sense of poetry. So that's a lucky
job.
Because
you're a poet too, are you not?
Yeah. I dabble a little.
So you get some inspiration from your reading.
I do. I think it's changed things in a way. It's opened up some permission to be a little more innovative in the work for me anyway.
Keeps it fresh. And Kimberly.
I serve as managing editor, and I've had that position for 4 or 5 years, and I started volunteering with the press in 2005.
And are you a writer as well?
I am. Yeah, I'm a poet.
And New Issues Press is, I tend to think of it as poetry, but that's, you also publish prose, correct?
We publish one novel every year. It's the winner of the AWP Prize for the novel from the Association of Writers and Writing Programs.
We're here today, actually, to talk about 20 years of New Issues Press. If you can take us back to the beginning, and I believe that takes us back to Herbert Scott, tell us the story of how did New Issues Press start? Why? What was the niche that Herb filled?
As I remember it, it started in 1995. My wife, Nancy Imers, and I were in Cornwall, England, and we received a letter from Herb Scott, our dear colleague and mentor of sorts, floating the idea of starting a press. At the time, I thought, well, I was in Britain. I thought, this sounds a little daft, actually, because it takes a lot to get something like that going off from the ground.
Had
the press,
either of you had any experience doing this?
Oh, no, this was Herb's. This was all Herb's doing.
It was just
doing.
His dream. Yeah.
It was his dream. It was Herb. Right. The press became Herb's calling. It very much became his calling. He dedicated his life, really, to the press, to bringing to Western Michigan University and to bringing to the community of Kalamazoo a nationally recognized press, and to making public, fresh, innovative young voices that otherwise wouldn't be heard.
I had the privilege of meeting him some years ago and hearing him read as well. I remember it being, when he talked about New Issues Press, what a passion that was for him. So what was the next step? So you're in overseas, and Herb approaches you with this idea. Where do you start?
Oh, well, I was in Cornwall, so I was released of any of the work, and it really was Herb's project. I imagine what he started with was using his finesse and charm to find support for the press. And he did
financial support.
You bet.
Okay.
And he did so
okay.
By making poetry the palatable thing that it really is.
Yeah.
As my managing editor, Kim Colby, likes to say, people don't know they like poetry. And they do. And Herb's just was very, he was a very approachable writer. His poems are approachable. And he's just a man who glows with energy.
Kind of thing can be contagious. So I like that Bill said that you said that about poetry. It's something that you don't realize you like until you realize that you're in love with it?
Yeah, that you'll find that one poem that speaks to you, and then you go from there and you find others. One of the things I really love about the way Herb set up the press was that he was reaching out to students who normally wouldn't be involved in poetry. He had students that were helping with the press, helping read manuscripts, helping set up the books. He established a relationship with Western's Design Center so that there are graphic design students creating the covers to the books. And those are students who might not otherwise ever engage with poetry.
Who were those first authors?
Herb began with what we call the Inland Seas series. Is that right, Kim? And a series dedicated to young Michigan writers. So Herb had his finger on the pulse of poetry and went about publishing initially some poets he thought were deserving. Then he started a couple years later. He started the first book contest. And that was a contest open to any writer in the country. And that took off and did very well. And then Herb started this Green Rose contest, which is for more established poets. And that also took off. So I guess three stages of sorts.
So it pretty much worked from the beginning.
Yeah, it did.
And tell us about some of these first authors. Who were they?
Lisa Lishman, Dave Marlott, and John Rybicki.
And what we're talking about today, actually, is the event. You're about to celebrate an anniversary. Tell us more about that.
We're marking the 20th anniversary of a small press. 20 years for a small press is something of an achievement.
Yes, it is.
And so we've decided to... We always have an annual gathering over at Bell's Eccentric Cafe at the end of the summer. And we decide this one, we want to be extra special. So it'll begin at 2 and go on till 5 on Sunday, August 30th. And there will be a short reading of about 45 minutes introduced by our mayor, Bobby Hopewell, who will say a few words about the community and the arts. And beyond that, lots of good talk, food and libations, and we'll be selling books, of course, and there will be a silent auction as well. These gatherings, people enjoy them immensely.
Now, I saw in your flyer, too, that there was something about music and an art sale.
Yeah, Joe Gross will open and close the event with some acoustic guitar and singing. And the authors who are reading, we have a mix of new issues authors and then former students of Bill and Nancy's and Herb's who worked with the press during some of the earlier days, too. So it'll be great to have everybody together.
Tell us about challenges. There's got to be, like you said, a small press doesn't usually survive 20 years. And what are the differences between small presses and the big traditional publishing houses? What do you do, say, better than the big guys?
I think manage our resources. When you're dealing with a bigger press, you have a staff. We have Bill and I and Nancy. We have a layout editor who is a student at Western as well. But when authors ask, who do I talk to about marketing and publicity? It's us. And probably the biggest challenge is having to make those tough decisions about what to publish, because you get more work that deserves to be published than what you can afford to publish.
How do you do that selection? I mean, that's got to be difficult. When you said 600 submissions, what kind of criteria do you bring to that? And is it the two of you, or do you have a panel of editors? And who makes that decision? Is it sometimes a battle?
Well, we have our advanced graduate students. We have the advantage of their screening the manuscripts. So that helps a great deal.
So they're your first readers?
They're our first readers. This editor reads every manuscript for the Green Rose Prize. And we confer. We go by excellence. I know that sounds sort of general, but excellence includes freshness of voice. It includes energy of language. And I guess it includes something like authenticity of experience. So all those things kind of emerge in a good book. And really, the good ones stand out. It's fairly easy to get bring the number down to, say, 8 or 10 really not only publishable manuscripts, but somewhat enviable manuscripts. Mm-hmm. From there on,
then it gets a little tricky.
I have to say, it remains something of a mystery, even to me.
So has it been sometimes where somebody really champions something and you have to debate it back and forth, that it's like, hey, this one really deserves notice?
Yeah, we do that. And the screening process is a little different for the first book prize. The first book prize, each manuscript goes through two graduate student screeners, and then the top 100 go on to Nancy Imers, who has served as the guest editor for the first book series for the last few years. And then we hire an outside judge. We send the outside judge 10 to 20 manuscripts to read.
And does that judge change year to year? Or?
It does.
And who have some of those judges been?
Well, heavens, our first judge was Phil Levine, the one-time poet laureate who came here to read about 5 years ago. We've had C.K. Williams, Jean Valentine. We've had John Ashbery. We've had most of the preeminent poets in the country judge our contest at one point or another.
Our most recent judge was Major Jackson, and then the judge for this current cycle is Mary Schivest.
Mary just won a Pulitzer for her collection Incarnadine.
Looking back over 20 years, do you have your personal favorites? When you look back, it's like, this is the one that I'm really proud of.
Gosh.
Are we allowed to do that?
Yeah. I don't know if I want to.
Oh, I won't tell.
I have favorite poems.
Oh, okay.
Certainly.
Yeah,
there are books I hold dear to my heart. Absolutely.
Top shelf, yeah.
I'm glad we published them so they're available to me as a reader and to young writers who share the interest in poetry.
Or discoveries, maybe, that somebody that you published and they were a fresh new voice that nobody had heard of and then went on to...
We published a book called De Tocqueville by Khaled Matawa, who is on the strength of this book, went on to do a gig at Berkeley. He is now a chancellor of the Academy of American Poets. He's something of an arts ambassador to Libya. He was born in Libya, and he's become sort of a PBS spokesperson on occasion for Libya. So he's gone on to, by the standards of poetry, tremendous success. After a really innovative book that was sort of through every expectation, seemingly out the window, though it's tremendously lyrical and crafted.
And have you seen trends in sales? You know, are people reading the way they used to? Are they reading more, less, differently? Any trends?
Something that I think is pretty cool is that authors and their supporters are more interested in buying books directly from the press. So we set up an online store 2 years ago. That's an encouraging trend.
Do you think that's in general, like for the independent bookseller, that we like to cut out the middleman?
I think so. I think they see the importance of supporting the press in a more direct way. So that's very appreciated.
Yeah.
And I think too, a trend is that we're seeing a lot of community support in Kalamazoo for bookstores holding readings and events for poets.
And when you're thinking about the future, 20 years, heck, why not another 20? How do you see the trends of the future? Where do you see New Issues Press going next?
I can scarcely think past this afternoon. We want to both continue with what we think is a thorough and good and exciting job we're doing at New Issues. And I guess, if anything, we'd like to bring more attention to our books in one way or another.
Always. Always. Yeah.
One new thing that we're doing, we're working with a media artist named Adrienne Little, and she's developed a few poetry videos for us. And we've started a Vimeo channel where we have, she's working with her students and having her students read New Issues books and choosing their favorite poem and creating videos from those poems. So we're sort of curating a video library online.
A little bit like music videos and how that changed music. I like that. Are you showing any of those at the anniversary event?
I don't know if that will be
technically possible,
but we may look into doing that.
Or maybe even setting out laptops or something on tables. Oh, that'd be fun to see those. Are they available on your website?
They are. They are available on the website. And Adrienne Little has shown one of the videos in particular at different film shows. I've lost the phrase. there's one showing in Rome right now at a documentary film fest. That's what I was looking for, yes.
Anything else that either of you want to add about New Issues Press that we haven't talked about?
I guess I would, maybe this, that okay. one of our part of our mission is to bring poetry to the community, mm-hmm. in the form of our annual galas and our support of various readings in the community, getting books to libraries and holding readings in Michigan and publishing this beautiful anthology of Michigan poetry we published. All the work for the press gets done in Michigan. We really see ourselves as well as a press that has roots in Kalamazoo, a community that's tremendously rich in good writers.
Absolutely.
No one can explain why exactly, but it is profoundly
true. Yeah,
I
keep hearing those theories. Is it something in the water? Is it something in the air? You know, who knows? But something's working, because you're right. And we've gotten notice for that. I've seen different publications and newspapers and sites that have listed Kalamazoo as one of those literary riches out there, and proud of it. Well, thank you very much, Kim and Bill. It was good to talk with you.
Thank you.